Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
It is my pleasure to introduce to you someone who's a new friend to me. Pastor Michael and his family are traveling, so we wish you a blessed time away. And we are so privileged to have with us Pastor Greg. He is part of the USF Wesley Foundation, which is the United Methodist Campus Ministry there, but he also does more than that. So could you please welcome Pastor Greg to bring the message today?
Well, good morning, shepherds. It's an absolute joy to be here in this spot at this time of the morning. And I would like to say thank you to Pastor Michael for giving me the opportunity to share today. I'm a youth pastor in Lithia, Florida, full time. And I am the project manager responsible for the relaunch of South Florida Wesley. It's an enormously long title. We're making great strides there. I'll share that in a little bit. Listen to this scripture from 2 Timothy. It says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, the woo was heavier on this side, so we're going to have to step up the woo game over here. Michael and I met on a video call a couple weeks ago to talk about today, and when I get asked to guest preach, I say, well, what am I supposed to talk about? And sometimes I say, talk about whatever you want, and that's exciting in some ways because the topics seem infinite. But the anxiety of having to pick something that everybody's going to like isn't great. So the flip side, though, as the pastor says, we're in the middle of a series, and they give me the topic to preach on, which I think is easier. But I joke, if you don't like what I'm going to share with you today, it's because he told me what to preach about. And I'm going to veer off path real quick. I lost my father in 2019, and I was blessed to have him attend our church for a few years until God called him home. But anytime he found out that I was preaching in what youth pastors call big church, he would send me a joke. So here it goes. Little Susie was in class listening to her teacher talk about whales, and the teacher stated a fact that said it's impossible for a whale to swallow a human because even though they're very large, they have very small throats. Susie sat for a bit, and then she raised her hand, and the teacher called on her, and Susie said, "But I learned in Sunday school that Jonah was swallowed by a whale." And the teacher said, "Well, Susie, that's just a story. You can't believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale because it's physically impossible." And the teacher looked with a smug grin at Susie, and then she said, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah if he was really swallowed by a whale." And the teacher asked, "Well, Susie, what if Jonah didn't go to heaven?" And Susie said, "Then you ask him." I know, I felt the same way. So thank you for letting me sneak a little bit of my father's guidance into this. We love teachers. Teachers are great, but When I learned today that you were in the last week of the study of The Walk by Adam Hamilton, I was excited to get my copy and see all that was in there. So I hope you'll find today's topic and message pertinent in your life now, and really at any stage of our walk with Christ. The book goes through five essential practices of the Christian life: worship and prayer, studying, serving, giving, and sharing. And the actual title of the section that we're looking at today is Study, the Importance of Listening and Paying Attention. And when I read that, I knew that God had worked all this out because I am not good at any of that. Michael and I filmed, I guess you could call it a mini podcast, earlier this week. And in his interview, he just asked me to share a bit about the topic. And I left out a story that I'll share now. I am a USF alum, and I'm going to share about that ministry at the very, very end. I'm a degreed mechanical engineer, and I was in school long enough to be a doctor, but I only have my bachelor's degree. Let's just say I was not a good student, and I had to redo some classes and redo some semesters. Well, back then, USF gave a no-questions-asked semester drop. You could go in and say, I have to drop this entire semester, and they would let you do that. I was working full-time, trying to help my mother as a single parent, but I also liked hanging out with my friends a lot. So I graciously used that semester drop, and then I found myself in a very demanding and very poorly planned semester on my part twice. So each time I have to go to the dean of the College of Engineering and plead my case and get him to grant me another semester drop. And I look back on this and he was really great. He saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. But after that second time going to petition my case, he said, I don't want to see you in my office again. Yes, sir. So I finished my capstone class in the garage of my professors. We built a project that had been designed earlier in the semester. It was late July 97, and when we were done, I asked the professor, I was like, am I going to get my credit for capstone? He said, yeah, like, of course. And he's like, why? I said, because that's the last credit I need to graduate. So the next day, I go to the dean's office, and I walk in, and the horror on the face of the administrative assistant was like, she's like, what are you doing here? Now, fortunately for me, she was on the phone, so I kind of motioned at his door, and she kind of did one of those, and I walk over, and I lean in, and I knock on the door frame, and he looks up, and he just says, Mr. Rush, and I looked at him, and I said, I'm going to graduate, and he smiled and said, there is a God in heaven. Something I'm still trying to get right that Dr. Card had right the first time I met him can be reflected in our topic, the importance of listening and paying attention. So at the beginning of this chapter, the author asked the question, how does God speak to us today? And we have countless stories in the Bible where people heard the audible voice of God. And I would say that would be a pretty convincing way for us to hear God speak today. And I'm going to take you down a little rabbit trail, because every time I think about the audible voice of God, I think about the story of Moses and the bush that was burning up, and he walks over to it, and then God speaks to him through the bush. Now, unfortunately, the way my brain works, every time I think about that interaction with Moses and God and the burning bush, I think of this from this classic movie. Check it out. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming round the mountain. She'll be coming round the mountain. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be riding six white horses when she comes. She'll be riding six white horses when she comes. She'll be riding six white horses. She'll be riding six white horses. She'll be riding six white horses when she comes.
Excuse me. Come on. Are you the singing bush?
Follow the sea with a yo-ho. We'll blow the band down. Oh, pay attention and listen.
Let
to me.
Let me talk to him.
Excuse us. Are you the singing bush?
Yeah, ho, blow the man down. Yeah, ho, blow the man down.
Hello?
Yeah, ho, blow the man down.
Hi.
Give me some time to blow the man down.
Excuse us.
Good night, ladies.
Hey!
Good night, ladies. Good night, ladies. We're gonna leave you now. Merrily we roll.
Forget
along,
it.
Roll
my
along,
guess is this
along,
is a singing bush.
Let's go summon the invisible sword.
Now, Jen did not like the video, but Michelle loved it, so that, if you hated it, I'm sorry. It's the kind of humor that makes me laugh. Now, I do imagine that God's voice is nothing like the singing bush, but it didn't seem to matter what his voice sounded like, because the Israelites almost always had a prophet as their go-between between God and the people and vice versa. And how did that turn out for them? Countless stories. I promise that wasn't me. Okay, there we go. Now, it's easy for me to sit here and say how good I would hear and listen to and do what God wanted me to if I had a prophet assigned to me who was hearing directly from God. But then if they, the Israelites, could look ahead to all we have, they might be saying, oh, it must be nice to have all the scripture in one book in one place. Oh yeah, and all that stuff about the Messiah that you've already got to hear about, that must be great. So we should not be making excuses as to why we are not listening to God today. The author uses the word revelation to describe how God is speaking us today. And the first is a general revelation. And he describes an encounter, a way that we can encounter them. First is in nature. Listen to this from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. So the psalmist looks up to the heavens at night and saw and felt these things. So imagine how magnificent the heavens looked with no light pollution. My daughter is currently in a 1 month into a 4 month internship in the mountains of California at a place called Astro Camp. And it's kind of like nature's classroom here, but kids stay a couple nights and they learn everything they can about the stars and the heavens. And I wish I had a good picture to give you, but I'm still waiting for her to send me that good picture. But the point is, if we look, we can see God, and maybe more importantly, hear what he's trying to say to us. The second way the author says that we hear God is in the arts. So God has given humanity the ability to create art and music and literature. Great art speaks to us, to our human condition and the necessary questions of our life. I'm sure that each of us have experienced God speaking to us through a book that we're reading, or a song that we're listening to, or a drawing that we see, or a scene in a movie, maybe like the Three Amigos. The third way in this general revelation is through life experiences and people. So many of Jesus's parables required us to see the kingdom of God through ordinary people, a shepherd searching for his lost sheep, a farmer scattering seed, and a lost son being welcomed home by his forgiving father. And these were just stories that Jesus used to get his point across. But in those, we can sense the humanity and picture ourselves fully immersed in their stories. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus also had interactions with actual people whose stories taught us so much about the kingdom of God. The rich young ruler, a prostitute weeping at his feet, and a woman who gave her last 2 coins for the temple offering. God speaks through our everyday experiences and our conversations with people if we are open to listen. The fourth way in this general revelation is through conscience, intuition, and reason. He says coupling conscience, or that inner sense of right or wrong, with intuition, which is kind of the gut feeling that we have, and our capacity to reason are all means God has given us to know him, discern his will for our lives, and sense right from wrong. So while this is a good list, and there's certainly other ways that we can discern God's will that would fall under this general category, but sometimes we might misread something or try to control certain circumstances and try to force what we want to be hearing from God rather than hearing what he is really saying. So this is where a special revelation might be given by God, and the ways that he may make them known should not be a surprise to us. The first is the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus is clear that God is sending the Holy Spirit for us. John 14, 26 says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." And again in John 16, he says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." So how does the Spirit speak to us? For me, it's more of a whisper than a shout, or a nudge instead of a shove. But I tell my students constantly, if there's something that needs to be done and you can do it, even if it's not your responsibility, then you should do it. It's like the Spirit takes control of our conscience, gently pushing us to do the right thing or to not do the wrong thing. In youth ministry, one thing is a given. As much as we think we know what a student is going to say, we honestly have no idea what words they're going to speak out of their mouths. And truthfully, we navigate this fear with everything that we do. I had a text last week from somebody I didn't know, just a number, and we have to kind of answer all those because it might be somebody who's reaching out. And it said, "I'd like to speak to you about an incident that happened at dance practice." So we open up our church to the local high school's student government and council, and they do dances for their pep rally. So I get this text from somebody I don't know. And so my mind goes in 10 different directions. And I know the student well. And I remember speaking to him and some others, and I was like, well, did I upset him? And he told his dad, like, I was playing out all of this in my mind, and I was a wreck trying to figure out what was going on. And the text just said, just call me when you get a chance. And so I felt the nudge of the Spirit, and this was more of a shove, to call the parent as soon as I could. And I did, and the parent let me know that his student, when backing up to leave, had bumped the bumper of my truck. Thank you, Jesus. Like, that's it? He can back into my truck every time he comes here if that's it. Like, the things that I thought could have happened that he was upset about, and all it was backing into my 2011 Tundra. Have a ball. So let's try not to be hard of hearing when the Spirit is trying to get us, get our attention. It's easier said than done, but it's something that we can strive for. The second way in this special revelation is Scripture. And this is one of the most important ways God speaks to us. If we're serious about walking with God daily and knowing Him and His will for us, then reading and studying the Scripture must be part of our daily lives. Read any of the Gospels, and it's clear that Jesus not only read Scripture, but He memorized it, and He prayed it, and He lived it. And because He did, we should also. In this part of the chapter of the book, the author fully explains the Bible, and he gets to a very good point. He says the Old Testament was Jesus's Bible when he walked the earth. That's the only scripture that he had to read and study. But that the New Testament was written after his life, death, and resurrection, and it testifies to who Jesus is. Jesus does an interesting thing in his summation of the Old Testament. He read all the scriptures that made up the Old Testament in the light of these two commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he finishes this statement by saying, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So all the stuff in the Old Testament, which is important to us, which is deserving of our time that we invest in it, but it can all be shaped into loving God and loving others. Who likes to tithe? I'm going to wait for the Spirit to nudge you a little bit. Okay. Nobody likes to give money, right? Yeah, but tithing is kind of a parallel to how much we should read the Bible. So everybody hold up one hand. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The author says, read 5 verses a day. I think that sounds pretty manageable, though our schedules can get busy from time to time. And he says, as you read and experience the scriptures, the author encourages us, hold up your other hand, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 chapters a week. So 1 chapter a day with 2 days to catch up. We can do that, right? And then he mentions some tips to reading the Bible. He says to get one with a more common language translation. The King James Version is a tough read, but one that you can work yourself up to. So start with something that feels more like your current conversation. That might be an easier translation or transition from not reading Scripture to reading and understanding. Now, before we move on, the passage of John 16:13. One night we were at Bible study at South Florida Wesley, and I was introduced to a translation of the Bible I had never heard before, Hawaii Pidgin. And it was awesome. So listen to that same verse. I think it'll be up on the screen in this Pidgin translation. When the Spirit come that make you guys know the truth, he gonna show you guys how for sure the true stuff. He not gonna talk by himself, but he gonna tell what my Father won't tell him. And he gonna tell you guys about the stuff that gonna happen, Mumbai. So I practiced that for a little bit. So if you say, I read it, I don't understand it, if there's a translation like that, there's a translation that you can use to understand the Bible better. He also says to get a study Bible, and they're full of book descriptions and notes on almost every verse and maps and multiple ways that you can look up certain words or thoughts or ideas. Now, he shares several reasons for reading Scripture, but I'll just name a few. One is for understanding. We might read the Gospels to learn about the life of Christ. Maybe we read James to get some insight to the brother of Jesus and how living with Jesus shaped his interaction with the world. Reading for understanding is important, and it's made more fulfilling when using a study Bible that helps us understand the historical context of what we are reading. He also says we should read for formation. So when we read, we're being formed by the words of Scripture. And a great way to allow Scripture to do this is to ask these three questions after we read a passage. What does this passage tell me about God? What does this passage tell me about people, about others? And what does it tell me about myself and God's will for me? So if you're one of those that likes to highlight notes in your Bible, load it up. If you don't like to do that, keep a notepad with you. If you like to read on your app, then swap over to your notepad and make notes on there. And then the last thing is to study with others. Do you guys have small groups here at Shepherd's? What do you call them?
Small groups.
Oh, okay. All right. My church is Grace. We call them Grace groups, and some people call them Grow groups, and there's a billion names that you can pick out, so small groups. But we fully believe in the power of that, and I know Shepherd's does as well. While we can read Scripture on our own, there is something very powerful about studying with a group of people. You get to hear the experiences of others navigate the exact same Scripture that was totally different than how you experienced it. And it's awesome, and I can't encourage you enough to get connected to a small group right away. Jesus called the 12 disciples to walk with him during his 3-year ministry, and they became his closest friends and companions, and he was mentoring them to carry on the work of the gospel. And the author says Jesus was pointing us towards the importance of having friends with whom we study and listen for God to speak. And then finally, we hear from God through Jesus. And we came a long way to get to this last point. When I add the conclusion, and you're probably going to say, we should have just done that first and had an extra 25 minutes in the day. But Jesus, he is the most definitive way in which God has revealed himself to the world. Jesus was God's word, God's message in the flesh. Jesus tells Philip in John 14, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." But how do we see and know Jesus? We know him through our life of prayer, our experience of him in our lives, and others' experiences of him. Our primary way of knowing Jesus, what he said, what he did, his heart and character and hopes for his followers, is through the New Testament and directly through the Gospels. Our relationship with Jesus is largely made possible by our study of the Scriptures that bear witness to Jesus. He came to reveal God and God's kingdom. So when we imagine God, we see Jesus. So that wraps up our message.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with your peer and so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week. And